When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, we welcome you to a Monday here on the Sports Grid Network as a new week begins right here, right now. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. You are watching on the Sports Grid Network, sportsgrid.com, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. And we've got 3 hours on this Monday to sit back in the armchair and look back on a Thanksgiving weekend of football all around the National Football League as we detail a Sunday slate, marquee matchups across the board, and what it means for that NFL playoff picture, the regular season finale of the 2024 college football season with a ton of upsets and rivalries in a week known as hate. That was on full display this Saturday as well around the association. Action in college hoops. There is so much to get to here over these next 3 hours, DRS, on this Monday on the Early Line.
A lot to get to, which includes some action yesterday in the NFL, which included the Philadelphia Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens. Sensational from an Eagles perspective, but how about the snow? And how about Josh Allen at night maybe putting the final nails in the coffin for the San Francisco 49ers? But I have a suggestion to college football.
Please.
Hate week is fantastic. Rivalry week is great here at this time. But take away the trophies, Ben, and just have the ceremonial flag plant at midfield. That's your trophy here. I love the flag plant. Tremendous stuff here in college football.
Everybody trying to plant a flag into their rival's midfield logo. Is that day done? We shall see. But we'll start by going back around to Sunday in the National Football League. That Week 13 Sunday slate culminating in a snowy Western New York football game inside Orchard Park. The Buffalo Bills hosting the San Francisco 49ers. And Buffalo takes advantage of the elements, feeling comfortable at home for a big victory over the Niners, as DRS said, maybe cementing the fate for San Fran in this injury-filled season. 35-10, the victory for the Bills. They cover as a 6.5-point home favorite. Josh Allen makes history in the snow, becoming the first quarterback in NFL history to throw a touchdown, to rush for a touchdown, and also get credited for a receiving touchdown as well, all in the same game. The Bills win big. Christian McCaffrey gets injured in San Francisco. DRS now 2 games below .500 at 5-7.
back-to-back weeks, the 49ers got absolutely smoked here, and injuries just continue to pile up. And before Christian McCaffrey went down, 7 carries for 53 yards, was a shoestring away from busting a long touchdown run, goes down on his next carry, and it doesn't look good. We'll have the doc on the show later to try to prescribe us some things and see if he can actually come back this season. But also, Kyle Shanahan, what are you doing? Like, I lost money on that game last night, not because of the snowy conditions, because they scored 45 points, which is enough to go over the total. But I thought this would be a Deebo Samuel game. Wasn't that the perfect scenario to get him some carries here, work in some plays to him? They did absolutely nothing in that game. An embarrassing performance from the coaching staff and the players. They didn't even show up in Buffalo. So maybe they are resigned and say, you know what? Just didn't work for us this year. We'll take the rest of December off and try again next year.
And DRS, as an underdog for the first time since the end of 2022 in these last 2 weeks, on the road in Green Bay with Brandon Allen, the backup, and last night in Western New York, but Brock Purdy started the game. San Francisco hasn't even come close to covering as a 6.5-point dog, losing by 28 last week to the Pack, 25 last night to Buffalo. The Bills, with the victory, clinched the AFC East for a fifth consecutive season. Plenty more reaction from Sunday night in just a moment. A marquee matchup a little bit earlier in the afternoon in Baltimore. The Ravens hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. But in the Battle of the Birds, the Eagles win outright, 24-19 for the eighth consecutive win for Philly. Philadelphia edges out Baltimore. Saquon Barkley has the better day as opposed to Derrick Henry. And the Eagles have won 8 straight yesterday outright as that 3-point road underdog in the Charm City.
Right as rain, the Philadelphia Eagles open up the game and can't do anything on offense in the first quarter, which is their MO for this season, but impressive in the second quarter to take that lead into the half. They did get some breaks there, not on the fumbles, which Baltimore got all of those, but on missed kicks by what used to be the best kicker in the history of the football, Mr. Tucker down there in Baltimore. So let's focus on what the Eagles did well. They ran the football and played great defense. It's interesting where the dichotomy of the Eagles' pen has changed, where we want to be a high-flying offense to now saying, you know what? We got a tiger by the tail in that backfield. We're going to use him in Saquon Barkley. 23 carries for 107 and a touchdown, wearing down that potent run defense for the Baltimore Ravens. Extremely impressive. I didn't see it coming here. I thought the Ravens would win. The Eagles then moved to 10-2 and 8 straight victories with a chance to get that number one overall seed in the NFC.
And who is that top team in the NFC? Yeah. We shall debate in just a little bit. Huge AFC North rivalry as Cincinnati off the bye trying to save their season at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bengals, DRS, booked as a field goal favorite only for Pittsburgh to win outright in a shootout. 44-38, 82 total points, the highest scoring game in the National Football League this year. And the Steelers, for a fifth time this season, in all 5 games as the dog, wins outright. Pittsburgh, a legitimate contender in the AFC.
Absolutely, they are. Missed out on this game. I really did. I took the Bengals -2.5, -122 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Loved where I sat, 14-7 right off the bat. Things were looking good. Yeah. And then the defense crept in. And then the mistakes on fumbles and getting returned the opposite way. TJ Watt, 2 sacks in this game. Russell Wilson, 38 passing attempts for 414 and 3 touchdowns here. Passer rating of 126. He was phenomenal in this game. This is the high end of the Steelers offense. Now, granted, you do have to get a little bit better on defense for the Steelers, but you'll take that win any day of the week. And I got to admit, I was wrong. I thought that was going to be a Bengals day, awful bye to save their season. Now, their season gift wrapped here. And you saw the locker room, Ben. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. It is what it is. You started this, Mr. Brown, and now here it is.
It is done for Cincinnati. They are 4-8. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, 9-3, over 46.5 yesterday in Cincinnati. Elsewhere in the state of Ohio, on a Saturday in Columbus, the Buckeyes, the biggest favorite in not a game, but the game, for the first time in more than a decade, laying 3 touchdowns, and they get upset outright by the Maize and Blue, 13-10. Michigan prevails for a fourth consecutive time against Ohio State. And then the block M was planted in the middle of the horseshoe and chaos ensued. But if you want to fight, do it in the 60 minutes and don't lose outright to your most bitter rival as a 3-touchdown favorite at home.
A lot of kids making a lot of money, a lot of talent on Ohio State. They didn't even show up in a rivalry game where they should have just been able to roll their helmet out and beat that Michigan team. But you know what I loved about Michigan? We can't pass the football. We'll play a little bit of defense out here. We're just going to run the football straight up the middle and tell you to deal with it. And you know what? Ohio State couldn't deal with it here. What a win by Michigan. This is why the rivalry games are so much fun to watch, because everything technically was on the line for Ohio State. We're going to finally beat our rival once again. We're going to head to the Big Ten championship. We're going to rectify that loss to Oregon. We're going to move on into the playoff, and now you're worried about if your coach is even going to make it to the playoff at this point. Embarrassing for Ohio State, but this is why we play the games, people.
Absolutely so. It's why you play the game. A renewal of the Lone Star Showdown for the first time in 13 years on Saturday night at College Station, or in College Station at Kyle Field in Texas, in a winner-take-all game to the SEC Championship against the rivals in A&M. Wins by 10, 17-7 on the road, covering as a 5.5-point favorite. The Longhorns will play for an SEC Championship in their first year in the league on Saturday.
How about that? Everybody thought, hey, Texas coming over to the SEC, man. What a bad move. They're not going to do any damage, and here they are, the best team possibly in the SEC, and can prove it on Saturday. Love that.
They will take on Georgia in Atlanta. You know who's not playing in the ACC championship? That'd be your Hurricanes, DRS, because it's not easy to walk into the JMA Dome and come out with a victory. The Syracuse Orange spoil the season for Miami. Some big NBA action we'll detail later on in the show. The Cavs atop the Eastern Conference. The Rockets atop the Western Conference. Back to Sunday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In a snowstorm last night on Sunday Night Football in Western New York, the Buffalo Bills show you they are used to the conditions. A marquee win for Buffalo to cap off the Week 13 Sunday slate that we recap for you live right here on this Monday morning to kick off a new week on the early line. The Buffalo Bills win big at home, 35-10. It snowed all weekend long south of the city in Orchard Park. We were not expecting snow during the actual game. Mother Nature said psych because of that lake effect off Lake Erie. And in the conditions, the Bills outlast the San Francisco 49ers. So many ramifications, DRS, from the actual result itself. We will break down all of that in just a moment. But for the game, Josh Allen makes history and maybe wins the NFL MVP award, becoming the first quarterback ever in the history of the National Football League to have a passing touchdown. He had two. To have a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown in the same game on a pitch back from Amari Cooper midway through the third quarter, basically a wide receiver quarterback hook and lateral. Josh Allen dives for the pylon and does get in. A huge win for Buffalo, 35-10. The Bills easily cover as a 6.5-point home favorite.
Let's start at the quarterback position. Not all contracts are going to be the same. The reason I state that here is Josh Allen in a game like that is the ultimate weapon, and he proved it last night. Receiving touchdown, rushing touchdown, passing touchdown. But you know what's going to happen in the offseason? Brock Purdy's going to make more money than Josh Allen because he's next up to sign his contract as a quarterback here. But let's move on to what mattered in this game. Yes, the Buffalo Bills have a distinct advantage being at home in Buffalo in the cold weather that they're used to, but nobody's used to playing in snowy conditions like that. You have to adapt as you go. What do you think, James Cook grew up playing in freezing in cold conditions here? He looked like he was an absolute gazelle yesterday in that game. You think Jordan Mason, 13 carries, 78 yards? No, you have to adapt to the climate. And if I would have told you before this game even started, forget about Christian McCaffrey going down for an injury. If your starting tailback went 7-for-53, your backup went 13-of-78 in the snow, you'd be rating this game to win it, right? Wrong. 25-point loss. Buffalo is clearly the better team. Why? Because Josh Allen was their quarterback, able to throw 13-of-17 for a 148 and two scores, a passer rating in the snow of 143.1. Impressive performance for the Buffalo Bills from start to finish. You see that line spike, right? The 4.5 to the 5.5 and the 6.5. So most people, rightfully so, you know what? snowy conditions now in this, let me opt in live and say, I'm just going to take the 49ers because this game's going to be crazy all the way through. No, it wasn't. Yeah. Buffalo was clearly the better team from start to finish. I don't know what Kyle Shanahan was doing this week, but he certainly didn't have his team prepared for that.
And I'm not sure what would have happened if Christian McCaffrey, looking like he was going to have his breakout game for the first time since returning from the Achilles injury, would have remained healthy the entirety of the game. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But DRS, part of the reason that I kind of love snow games from the betting perspective is everybody sees the cold in the snow and maybe some wind, although it wasn't overly windy last night in Orchard Park. And they're like, this is going to be 13-10 under. 35 points scored by Buffalo. San Francisco should have had many more as well. Both teams averaging over 5.5 yards per carry last night, because it's equally as hard, if not more difficult, for the defense to make a stop. And you're not trying to hit people super hard because that stings even more in the cold and the snow. So you have a lot of scoring potential, although it's not 50-yard bombs down the field. It might be a 25-yard run time after time. Total closed at 44 and a hook entering Sunday night. It does skate by and just go over. The Bills have won 6 games in a row. Make that now 7 consecutive victories. They have covered in 6 of the 7. They have gone over in 6 of 7. And DRS, for a 5th consecutive season, the Buffalo Bills have won the AFC East divisional crown. Now, the story for Buffalo becomes, are they ready to take advantage of that divisional title and make a deeper postseason run to the AFC title game once again, and maybe, just maybe, to Super Bowl 59?
I mean, why not at this point? You're waiting also for the faltering of the Kansas City Chiefs, which seems like on a week-to-week basis, they could crumble. And also keep in mind, it's not one of those situations like, if we tie, Kansas City's going to get it because they've... No. The Buffalo Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And if we're talking about bad weather conditions, capital number one is Buffalo, New York. And if you can have home field advantage all the way throughout, that should be an advantage for you. Now, granted, you did play Kansas City at home in the playoffs last year in some cold weather, and you lost that football game. But it looks like the Buffalo Bills might be a better version of themselves. And also, Matt Milano coming back after missing just about every... actually did miss every single game so far this season, trying to get healthy. It was a bicep tear, tricep tear, one of those things. He's back now in the mold. I like what I see out of the Buffalo Bills. And sometimes when you play in those environments like last night, it just shows you how tough your football team is. That wasn't, as you said, Ben, 13-10, got lucky, 6 fumbles by the 49ers on the goal line. No. They took it to the 49ers last night and looked like it was a party out here. And Josh Allen, as I said, in those weather conditions, he's the ultimate weapon. He's the best player in the NFL under there. And if you get those conditions in Buffalo, Western New York, to come in the playoffs, watch out, Buffalo. Why not, Buffalo? How about that?
And you just saw the historic night for Josh Allen and what it means for the MVP case. Now, minus 230, entered week 13 at plus 115, was the short favorite. Saquon Barkley continues to perform. Lamar Jackson has played at an MVP caliber level. But Josh Allen, now the hefty favorite to win the hardware for the first time in his career. And not just him individually, but Buffalo moves past KC for the first time this season as the AFC title favorites at that plus 210 number. Still the second best price to win that AFC number one seed, because Kansas City has a better record, but the Chiefs a much more difficult schedule down the stretch than that of Buffalo, and the Bills do have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Now to the other side of the equation, DRS, the Niners dropped 2 games below 500 at 5-7, critical in that NFC West race. But it's been a story for San Francisco all year, the injuries. Christian McCaffrey, as Kyle Shanahan told us after the game, suffered a PCL injury in his knee. His season now very much in question.
Yeah, and that's going to be the tough part about it, because watching last night, he was shot out of a cannon. That could have been a buck 50+ performance, 2 touchdowns, and kept San Francisco at least in that ball game. What a shame, too, because you thought it was the Achilles when he got that tall sweep and just went down. But a knee injury now on top of the Achilles, that doesn't sound well. My time to just shut him down. It's a shame, because he was the best back in football the last year and a half, bar none.
Yeah. And we'll talk to the pro football doc, Dr. Chow, later about this. We'll go all around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
from Sunday night football to Sunday afternoon into the early evening hours in Baltimore. A battle of the birds in the marquee matchup on the Sunday slate. The Eagles pay a visit to the Charm City. Direct implications for both of these teams in terms of their playoff standings in either conference. Of course, Philadelphia in the NFC East and the NFC as a whole. The Ravens try to keep pace with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North. And that AFC wild card chase. Yesterday, DRS in Baltimore, the Eagles make a statement. 8 consecutive wins now for Philadelphia. 24-19, outlasting Baltimore in Baltimore. And that final score a little bit closer, really, than it felt like because of a late Ravens touchdown that did make it a single possession game, but not much would come of it. We'll talk about Justin Tucker and how he's aging maybe just a tad. The most consistent and efficient kicker in the history of the NFL has been anything but this season. But Philadelphia, 8 straight wins, winning outright as a 3-point road underdog in the Charm City. Total of 50 and a hook, stays well under.
It's very interesting to me that you can go into Baltimore and be more physical than the Baltimore Ravens. The Philadelphia Eagles yesterday were exactly that. You might look at those final statistics. Derrick Henry, 19 for 82 yards, 4.3 yards per carry. You'll take that. On volume, that's probably over 100 yards and at least one touchdown most weeks here. You take a look at Lamar Jackson, 8 carries for 79 yards. And as you pointed out, a late 39-yard run with multiple holding penalties that the refs just didn't feel like calling. That padded those stats, which included a late touchdown to end that game. The final score was not indicative of how well the Eagles played. And also, as I talked about to start the show, adapting to change for the Eagles. Yes, they have high-flying wide receivers, an exciting quarterback that can put the ball up in the air. But when you realize you have a dominant force, a top-3 offensive line in football, and the best overall running back in football, use that to your advantage. And how about this, Ben? They're down 9-0 to start that game. Even myself, like, you know what? I'm going to have to go walk around the neighborhood with the dog here just to try to get the good vibes up. Go out, have my phone, they score a touchdown, come back. All right, now let's settle in. Because a lot of times you'd say, an AFC game. We already have the NFC East probably wrapped up at this point. No big deal. We just didn't have it in Baltimore. Let's play Carolina next week. And they fought all the way back, which after the bye week or into the bye week, fire Nick Sirianni. Yeah. Terrible head football coach, rallied that team around him. 8 straight wins now, look like the best team in football. And I'm so impressed to say it's not based on really the offense outside of Saquon Barkley. The defense with Vic Fangio, and I know you love him as well, Ben. The fact that I got a laugh out of last year where he went to Miami, he was supposed to be with the Eagles, but they took too long making decisions based on a Super Bowl run. And the Miami Dolphins were so happy to get this guy out of the building as if that made a difference for the positive, where they're in shambles in Miami and the Eagles have the best defense in football after being an absolute embarrassment last year. The coaching staff, A+ across the board right now in Philadelphia.
Some people embrace the grinded out style of one of the best defensive minds in football. That is Vic Fangio. You mentioned adapting to this new Eagles team with Saquon Barkley in the backfield. A couple of other instances, DRS. Philadelphia last year, for the good majority of the last 2 seasons in the NFL, the best first half team you will ever see. Yeah. They were down 9-0 at the end of the first quarter last night, but they find their way back. And a lot of that is relying on those in-game adjustments defensively. This is one of, if not the best defense in all of the NFL. They've gone under in 5 of these 8 consecutive wins. They have covered in 6 of 8, 3 games for the Birds this year as an underdog, an outright victory in all 3. Meanwhile, for the Baltimore Ravens, DRS, they've dropped 2 of their last 3 in very important games against the Steelers and now the Eagles. Both of those games, by the way, under for Baltimore. They only have 3 unders all year, speaking to the strength of that Eagles defense. And in a head-to-head matchup, not just of 2 elite quarterbacks who can do it all, but 2 running backs who can do a lot as well. Saquon Barkley wins the day. 107 yards on the ground, a touchdown as well. He is now a minus 500 favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year in front of the King.
Yes, and deservedly so, because you do look at the schedules moving forward. And Ben, it's not fair because I joked about it yesterday on the set. They don't do the Oklahoma drill against each other. It's like, okay, I'll tackle you, you run against me, and vice versa. You're playing against separate defenses who are very good. We understand the human psychology. Let's see who's going to win this football game. Oh, who had a touchdown, who didn't? Who ran for more yards, who didn't? Of course, you're going to get that boom. And also keep in mind, He's got Carolina talking about Saquon Barkley next week. Bucky Irving just shredded that defense. You could be looking at possibility 20-plus carries, a buck 50, and two more scores, where maybe that MVP race isn't over just yet because Saquon looks absolutely sensational. And as we said, the defenses get a little bit lighter as the season goes on.
5-1, the price on Saquon to win the MVP, as we shared. Josh Allen, a hefty favorite. Four out Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanksgiving weekend, a time for football, family, and fun. We continue to review and recap the Sunday slate in week number 13. Huge game in the AFC North early on yesterday, DRS, in Cincinnati. The Bengals entered three games sub 500, but fresh out the bye. If there was ever going to be a time for Cincy to save its season, it was yesterday at home. Booked as a field goal favorite at close against their rivals in the Pittsburgh Steelers. But instead, the Steelers show their ilk atop the division in extending that lead and doing so in a shootout where it was really the story of Cincy's season. An offense that can keep pace with anybody, led by Joe Burrow, but a defense that can just simply not make a stop when needed. 44-38, Pittsburgh victorious outright as a field goal underdog on the road in Cincinnati. A total of 46.5 stood no chance. It goes over.
Yeah, smoked the over in that point. And case in point, I'm actually not mad at myself that I picked Cincinnati yesterday, -2.5. I'm actually upset that I didn't take any prop bets away from this game, because that's really where I should have been looking, because both of these offenses were getting after it. Both quarterbacks threw 38 times. There was room to run on the ground. Wide receivers getting into it. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? 10 different players caught passes yesterday for at least 10 yards. That's incredible. And look at the absolute, usually it's like, hey, one guy goes 8 catches, 168 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Pickens, all the way down, 74, 68, 55, 54, 43, 37, 29, 23, 21, and 10. You got to be kidding me, man. Russ really was cooking yesterday. 414 yards. That's what you're supposed to do to that Cincinnati defense. And also, it was the perfect spot for the Bengals. Asked yesterday, what did you think about the rest of the Bengals season? I thought they needed to go 1-2 in this three-game stretch, which they ended up going 0-3. The one game they needed to win certainly was the Pittsburgh Steelers game coming off the bye. But even if they did win that game, we knew that defense was going to rear its head down the season. Oh, they can win this game, they can win that game. No, look at the way they've been playing these football games, where it's all on Joe Burrow to basically throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns just to give them a chance, not in a blowout victory. So I didn't know if the Cincinnati Bengals would still make the playoffs, but I thought the spot was great yesterday. But again, credit the Pittsburgh Steelers, saying, you know what? We probably want to win games in a lower scoring form, make the correct plays on offense, run the football. If you need to engage in a shootout, Russell Wilson was there for you yesterday. He was sensational, spreading the football around. And he also got a pretty good running game at a Najee Harris, 16 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown. Credit to the Steelers. I didn't think they'd win that game. They were the better team yesterday, and they won. And by the way, 44-38, that wasn't really the final score, though, even though it shows there. Right. That game was much, much better for the Pittsburgh Steelers side.
I was going to say the same thing, DRS. The Steelers were dominant after the first quarter in Cincinnati. A late Joe Burrow touchdown kept things rather interesting for a potential onside kick that really did not matter. 82 total points scored combined yesterday between the two clubs. The highest scoring game in the history of this divisional rivalry. The highest scoring game so far this season through 13 weeks, or almost 13 weeks, depending on what the Broncos and the Browns do tonight at altitude. But the highest scoring game so far in the NFL season. And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers to a certain degree, because they had not really been able to add it up offensively in the last 2.5 years like we saw yesterday. But overall, the statement being the Steelers with a victory have won all 5 games outright as an underdog this season, where they have been booked getting points. And because of the win, improving to 9-3, it clinches the 18th consecutive year without a losing season in the Steel City under Mike Tomlin as the head coach. It is a staple of success and consistency. Quickly to the Bengals, DRS. Cincy now 4-8. the season is through. They can try to give you whatever rah-rah speech to try to win five straight to get above 500 down the stretch. It's done. Yesterday was their best shot, their last chance to stave off any sort of postseason elimination and keep their season afloat. It did not happen. And the Bengals have lost 7 of 8 games by just a single score. But Donnie, they'll look back on divisional games and games at home as the biggest reason this season did not hit. 1-5 both straight up and against the number in Cincinnati this year, not covering at home by an average margin of greater than 8 points per game.
And what do we expect from the season, too? Because let's even remove the wide receivers. How about Trey Hendrickson? Was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to, you know, sit out. I want a new contract. They told him no. So he probably came in the season angry. He's been a very good defensive end. You take a look at your two future wide receivers that you drafted in round number one, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. You messed with around with them the entire offseason and refused to pay him. So now's the time. Like, it's the giving season. Now it's the give back season in Cincinnati. Here's what I'll say to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. T. Higgins knowing he's not going to get signed again. You know what? I'm up for a huge free agent payday. You know, probably going to relax the rest of the season. Many bumps and bruises come up. I might miss a game or two. And if I'm in the game, you know I'm going to alligator arm one of these balls because it doesn't matter anymore. We're not going to make the playoffs. You don't think I'm a part of your future. And the same thing with Jamar Chase. I understand Jamar Chase did take out a contract, I think like Lloyd's of London, just to ensure that in case he gets a catastrophic injury, he will get paid. But the same thing also with Jamar Chase is you didn't want to pay me entering the season. You know what? I'm going to take it easy down the stretch. And you know what's probably going to happen? You won't see me until the final week of camp next year because I know you'll play hardball with me again. This is a terribly run organization that I called on multiple times in the offseason not to buy in on the Cincinnati Bengals because of the way their players were treated here. Can you imagine heading into training camp where everybody got paid? Everybody was on the same page. Let's go out and win a Super Bowl. Instead, nobody knew when they were coming to camp. Everybody was angry about their contract. And the owner just sat up there in the box and goes, you know what? As long as I don't have to pay these guys this year, I'll make more money. Not realizing the longer you wait, the more you will actually have to pay your wide receivers. I hope Jamar Chase sets the record, not only for being the highest paid wide receiver, but the highest paid player in the history of the NFL because of how horribly he was treated here by the Brown family. Should have paid him last year. You probably would have had a different result this year. How about that?
He's not going to surpass the 60 mil that Dak made, but I do hear the point. 35 mil per year, that's Justin Jefferson, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Mike Brown said on the first day of training camp for the Bengals, we're not going to talk contract at this point. The offseason is for when that should happen, skipping over the previous 4 months of the offseason for Cincinnati. Hey, Mikey, it's the offseason now for Cincinnati. Get out the checkbook. Don't buy Christmas gifts for the rest of the Brown family. Pay Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is probably on a new team next season. Now back to the Steelers DRS. 9-3. Game and a half lead in the AFC North in front of Baltimore and the head-to-head tiebreaker at this moment. These two teams will meet now in 3 weeks, week 16 in the Charm City. The Steelers entered this week as not the minus money or even favorites in the AFC North. They are once again at minus 160. A lot of that thanks to Russell Wilson. We said it was a Steelers season, a Steelers game, an underdog winning outright against a divisional foe. A Mike Tomlin not losing season. It didn't really look like it, though, offensively. 414 yards for Russell Wilson, the first 400 passing yard game of his career since the 2019 NFL season, way back when he was playing for the Seahawks. 10 different guys caught a pass yesterday. 9 of the 10 had at least 20 receiving yards or more.
By the way, looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, this let it open. Let Russ cook, as I continue to say. Your defense will – look, you're not going to give up 38 points as a Pittsburgh Steelers defense all that often, and you still won the football game. Plant that flag there. But having said that, if the Steelers are going to win this division, if the Steelers are going to make some noise in the playoffs, Ben, that was a big win over the Bengals. They'll take on the Browns next week. And again, it's going to be a division game. We'll see how that pans out. But after that, at the Eagles – at the Ravens, home to the Chiefs, those three games. If you tell me they can go 2-1 in those games, why not the Pittsburgh Steelers to challenge for the AFC at that point? Because that would be 100% real contenders here. So if they're going to earn it, if they're going to win it, they're definitely been going to earn it here.
10-1 the price on Pittsburgh, fourth best in the AFC. Again, we know the staple of success and consistency. Never a losing season. All right, they're 9-3 in the odds-on favor to win a division. But what is the ceiling for the Steelers? Does Russell Wilson, does this offense elevate that? maybe just maybe DRS. They have not played in the AFC Championship game since 2016. They have not won the AFC title since way back in 2010, trying to change a decade and a half of results this season. More around the AFC, but just quickly on Cincinnati, Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator who we have sung his praises for a long time. Brother, there's a job opening in West Lafayette. Go back home to Purdue. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big interconference matchup yesterday in the A between the Falcons at home hosting the Chargers for both teams and their playoff outlook in their respective conferences. Oh boy, I can understand why the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall for some contingency for an aging quarterback in Kirk Cousins who was atrocious yesterday in Atlanta. The Chargers win a game. Frankly, they had no business winning outside of the turnover battle. LA victorious on the road, 17-13. It was basically a pick'em DRS at close on the money line. The Chargers minus 108 take advantage. Total of 46.5 stays under. Quickly, let's highlight what Jim Harbaugh did in a great weekend for him and the former Michigan family. LA now 8-4 this year. They have covered in all eight wins. They snapped a three-game over streak with some great defense yesterday. Good job, LA. You're 8-4. Jim Harbaugh makes an instant impact. Kirk Cousins also an instant impact, but not in a good way, DRS. 245 yards yesterday, but four interceptions. The Chargers win a game in Atlanta. The Falcons had to have. LA just picked off Kirk again and says thank you very much.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. If you would have just had Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier play a wildcat formation the entire way, you win that game, which is so pivotal the NFC South. This is why I love talking about Jim Harbaugh, the great coach that he is. Your superstar quarterback threw for 147 yards. You had 17 carries for 56 yards on the ground on the road at 3.3 yards per carry. Your best wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, who was destroying Atlanta in the first half, you weren't even with, excuse me, at the 9-7 lead. He gets injured early, which is like 8 or 9 yards worth of passes in the second half, and you still won that game with your second wide receiver, Quentin Johnston, two catches for 12 yards. No way. You show me that box score. That's a smash job by the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons lost because of how bad Kirk Cousins was. All you had to do was run the football. Don't turn it over. You would have won the game. They couldn't help themselves here. And also, Raheem Morris, yes, in the postgame. You're not going to win any football games turning it over four times. You can't do that. And it wasn't a rookie quarterback making mistakes and learning on the job. It was Kirk Cousins with some of the worst interceptions you will find. No business the Chargers had winning that football game. And here they are now, 8-4, because they're coached extremely well.
Bijan Robinson, 102 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Atlanta had 14 more first downs than the Chargers, ran 31 more offensive plays, had 163 more total yards than LA, and lost a game at home. They have lost three in a row. Kirk Cousins has thrown an interception in all three games, six in total. Without a single touchdown toss, they have gone under in four straight. I entered this season excited by what the Dirty Birds would do offensively. I thought they were going to be an over team basically week in, week out. Three straight losses, four straight unders. Now back at an even 500 record, tied atop technically in win-loss record, the NFC South. They are very lucky. They swept the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season. Elsewhere around the NFL, a big day, DRS, for a couple of guys now playing in Seattle that were drafted by the New York Jets back in MetLife. The Seahawks win in East Rutherford, 26-21, outright as a short underdog on the road, plus 110 on the money line, over 41.5. Same old Jets, though, who now clinch a losing record for the 9th consecutive season. They are going to miss the playoffs for a 14th consecutive season, both the longest active streaks and droughts in the National Football League. And again, DRS, a big day for two former Jets. Leonard Williams, drafted sixth overall in the opening round by New York back in 2015. A 92-yard interception return for the Big Cat. You might be thinking, wait, Leonard Williams, he doesn't play safety. He's not a corner, is he? No, he's an offensive tackle that picked off Aaron Rodgers, the bum, and took him back 92 yards the other way. The Seahawks get a big road victory. They sit alone at 7-5 atop the NFC West right now.
Yeah, Big Williams. I mean, the guy looked like a DB. Like, I had to do a double take when I saw that on the highlight. Like, wait, that was Leonard Williams back there. He was absolutely incredible. But also, the handicap on this football game, Ben, no X's and O's. I said, wait a second. The Jets are favorite. Yeah, I don't care who they're playing. Just give me the other side. And it looked bad early on. Oh, look at the Jets rising up here 14-0. Aaron Rodgers jumping around on the sideline having fun. Let's also remember, this game was 21-7 with the Jets driving again basically to put this away. And then that pick six happened. And the Jets completely fell apart the rest of the way. This is the Jets microcosm in one game right here. Big lead. Let it slip away. Oh, bounce here, bounce there. The Jets could be 9-3, Ben. Not 3-9. Like, no, you are a poor organization with a loser quarterback, a loser head coach, and also, or I should say a loser slash head coach, interim guy, which would be going at the end of the year, and a loser owner at this point. That was the most embarrassing performance of the Jets season, and they had a lot of embarrassing performances. A blowout victory turned quickly into a loss. Only the Jets, baby.
The gangrene scored two offensive touchdowns in the opening quarter. The offense would never score again. They got a kick return touchdown in the second to make it 21-17. The team never scored again. Seattle scored 19 straight points to win a game. Geno Smith, the former Jet, efficient. 206 yards, two touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, the former star, who is anything but, turns 41 today. Happy birthday, Aaron. Hope retirement in a cabinet position looks pretty good. 185 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception, but a costly interception. By the way, after the game, Aaron Rodgers, who has been mulling over his football future all year long, Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, when asked who would start at quarterback the remainder of the way for a 3-9 Jets team, said, I don't know, I got to watch the film to see how bad it is. Aaron Rodgers is going to be benched at some point this week.
No, he probably will. And also, like, understand what the Jets' future is at this point. Aaron Rodgers coming back next year absolutely solves nothing because he's even going to be a step slower than he is this year. He can't escape the pocket to save his life. So maybe it does make sense where you lose out the rest of the way. Like, bench him, put in a sign a practice squad or somewhere and just lose horrendously the rest of the way. Get your quarterback and cut Aaron Rodgers because the compensation on the new quarterback coming in will be like $1 million on the new cap as opposed to Aaron Rodgers. You'll offset it as if you're still paying a big-time quarterback, but you get rid of the cancer. It's Aaron Rodgers, people. It's not the actual Jets right now. To me, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Or Woody Johnson. Regardless, it's a disaster. Again, more around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A dramatic comeback yesterday in Minneapolis. The story of the Vikings season, really the last 3 years or so. Win a close game, the Vikings do that. Prevailing in a comeback, 23-22 at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Now the Cards do cover as a 3.5-point road underdog. A total of 45 and a hook does go over in the Minnesota Vikings, DRS. Now, a 10-2 football team this year, 7 of those 10 victories by just a single score. They were down 19-6, under 5 minutes remaining in the third quarter, and they stormed all the way back to beat Arizona. The Vikings, 10-2, still hot on the heels of the Lions in a very competitive NFC North division. And if it's not going to be a divisional title, as the odds makers do not expect, the Vikings certainly a strong hold on a wild card spot right now in the NFC.
No, and again, they are the forgotten team in the NFC. We're focused on the Philadelphia Eagles getting a lot of hype and pub as they should. We're focused on the Detroit Lions getting a lot of hype and pub as they should. If the Minnesota Vikings played, let's just say, in the NFC West, they'd be getting the equal amount of hype. But the problem is they play in maybe the most competitive division in football, and yet they squeak out a victory yesterday, which I like to see. Sam Darnold was bad for most of that football game. He was getting buried in the pocket, not making great decisions, not finding Justin Jefferson. They woke up in the second half. He threw two touchdown passes. Yeah. Thank goodness. That was my best bet yesterday on Pro Football Today. He threw one late in the third quarter, then one into the fourth quarter, which basically was what? Another minute to go in the game to sort of seal the deal for them. Like the way Minnesota played. Love the fact they came back. And also, the Arizona Cardinals are no pushover. And I think I missed a little bit again saying, you know what? Preconceived notions on the Cardinals, playing good defense. I think today it snaps. Now, granted, Justin Jefferson, 7 catches for 99 yards. Sam Darnold had 235 there, 2 touchdowns, which was a good performance. But for the majority of that game, where you had a 2-touchdown lead for the Arizona Cardinals, saying, like, is this defense for real? Like, how good of a coach is Jonathan Gannon? Yeah. But the cream rose to the top. Minnesota Vikings were able to make the plays they needed to make, which included a late 4th-and-7 conversion to Justin Jefferson to keep that final drive alive. So I want to give a lot of credit here to the Cardinals in that loss. This is a team that will fight you tooth and nail, and they did that yesterday.
A really good cover team as an underdog. I misspoke. I said over 45.5. It was under 45 and a hook. Under an 8 of 10 victories for the Vikings this year. That Brian Flores defense can make plays when it matters. Minnesota, of course, started undefeated, 5-0. They covered in all 5 victories, dropped 2 straight, now have won 5 in a row again, but just 2-2-1 against the spread in these last 5. But if you're looking for optimism on Minnesota, it's Sam Darnold. 235 yards yesterday, DRS, 2 touchdowns. He has thrown exactly 2 touchdown tosses without a pick in the last 3 wins for the Vikings. And Justin Jefferson, 9 targets, 7 grabs, 99 yards. J-Jet has had at least 81 yards in 9 of 12 games for the Vikings this year. Consistent at the highest level. So a big victory for Minnesota, their 10th of this season. Meanwhile, Arizona falls back to 500 at 6-6. They're a game behind Seattle now in the NFC West. Who else is an even 500, 6-6? That would be the LA Rams, but a big victory on the road in the Big Easy over New Orleans, 21-14. The Rams, a slight road favorite in NOLA. They cover as a 2.5-point favorite. Not a lot of offense, stays well under 49 in a hook. In fact, DRS, Los Angeles held scoreless in the opening half. It was tied at 14 in the fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford, 7-yard touchdown pass to Puka Nacua. Big win for the Rams to get to that even level at 6-6.
Yeah, saw another one of those Saints games early in the season against the Philadelphia Eagles with barely any offense there, but the Saints not able to prevail. That's a clutch performance here late for the Rams. And the second half did have scoring. The first half didn't have any. But just getting quickly back to that Arizona team here. Coming up on their schedule, home against the Seahawks, home against the Patriots, at the Panthers, at the Rams, and the 49ers will probably be dead and buried by the time it gets to that Week 18 game. Legitimate chance here. Don't give up on the Cardinals, man. It's one of those teams where I don't see, like, letdown per se performances. Yes, they lost by a touchdown or 10 points to Seattle on the road. Tough game. Barely lost to the Vikings. They probably should have closed that out. You probably have, what, 3 straight wins in the bag? I think they could beat the Seahawks this weekend. So something to look out for. Don't give up on the Cardinals, man. They're fighting. I'm interested to see if they can actually pull this division out.
And Arizona was the team that entering this weekend was the slight favorite to win the NFC West. As they fall a game behind Seattle, the Seahawks are now the favorites at plus 145, 35 cents in front. But as DRS said, we are far from done. I would also keep an eye on the Rams. It was a 9-1 price for LA to win this division just 2 weeks ago. It's now plus 290. And you can see the story of the season for San Francisco in last, both in the standings and the odds board. And the thing that hurts the Niners even more, they're 1-3 in the division. Hour number 2 comes your way next.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.